Well, I'm sure you are aware by now that the last Sunday our Bishop Paul Serva died suddenly from cardiac arrest. I've been considering the great task that he had of leading the flock of Jesus Christ in our local area. A task that must have at times seemed quite daunting. How do you get people to believe something and then live their life according to that belief? It's kind of a challenge at times. It's really an extraordinary venture that we promote as a church. Bishop Paul spent the last 10 years of his life trying to lead the flock of our diocese, trying to help us come to know Jesus and to have faith to follow him, and then ultimately to hopefully spend all eternity with God. It's an interesting thing that God trusts mere men to do this. Why not use something more impressive, like an angel or something? How about if we had an angel come and preach every weekend? Maybe you'd be more willing to come and show up then, right? Maybe you'd be more excited. I wonder what they would preach on. Probably the same things, I would imagine. You know, come to church, pray, confess your sins, and so forth. And yet, maybe that would be more interesting for us. And yet, that's not how God chose to do it. He chose to send mere men, fallen men, men who have problems and sins and lots of other things. It's interesting that God chooses to do that. Really, the task of bringing others to follow Jesus has always been one of those things that we're called to as Christians. But it can only be accomplished if we allow God to walk in our lives, work through us, and give ourselves over to that task. And it's best accomplished when we ourselves know Christ personally, and we follow him. So Bishop Serva, his work was to lead others to Christ. And he accomplished this first and foremost by coming to know Jesus himself. And this was clearly something that people experienced when they came to know him or came to be with him. We're all meant to do this in our own way, in our own particular circumstances. We're all called to lead others to Jesus. The ministry of St. John the Baptist, who we hear about during the season, was exactly this, pointing to Jesus, pointing to Christ with his life. What was it about John that created this stir, right? That we hear all these people going out to see him, listen to his words. It wasn't that he was a miracle worker that we're aware of. He wasn't particularly politically powerful or connected. No, not at all, really. He wasn't fashionably dressed. We hear he wore camel's hair. It doesn't seem that he was a particularly eloquent speaker from the recorded words that we have of his. So what was it? What was it about him that caught people's attention? He clearly isn't pointing to himself. He isn't speaking about his own teaching or his own philosophy. So John the Baptist prepares us for something. He prepares the way for another. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight your paths. It's quoted from Isaiah. His message is one of sort of preamble. He's getting us ready. He's preparing us to receive Jesus himself. He focuses on repentance, bearing good fruit. He focuses on the fact that one mightier than I am is coming after me. Jesus himself says of John, though, I tell you, among those born of woman, none is greater than John the Baptist. Interesting. How successful was John's message? How many committed followers did Jesus get that we know about who followed John also? I'm only aware of two. There's really two. John the Baptist says one day, behold the Lamb of God. And then two guys start following him, and eventually they become his disciples. Certainly many people heard John's message, and many must have been touched or affected by it in some fashion. Perhaps he did lay the groundwork for many followers to come to Jesus. We just don't know exactly what the number was or how exactly they were affected. However, at the time of his execution, when John was beheaded, it would have been easy to think that his ministry had been pretty ineffectual. I imagine Bishop Paul may have at times looked at what he was doing and wondered, Lord, is this how it's supposed to be? Is this how it's supposed to be going right now? Am I doing it right? I ask that question at times myself. I think any serious Christian asks themselves this question from time to time. Lord, am I doing it right? Is this going the way you want it to? What makes our ministry effective? What what helps us to do this ministry? Or we might ask, how can our following of Jesus be accomplished? And how is that this decision to follow Jesus can impact the lives of other people? It must be the case that something other than ourselves is at work. It must have been that something other than John's words were moving people to come and listen to him. What was it? The Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit acts in our lives, in us, through us. And in this way, we ourselves can follow Jesus. We ourselves can be instruments by which he touches the lives of others through us. We need to have faith in the power and the providence of God. The task that is given to the Pope, the bishops, even the parish priest, a father, a mother, every one of us. We all need God's grace to be active for our efforts to have any effect. The grace of God is necessary for us. And we can't control God. It would be nice, though, wouldn't it? Sometimes we just think, oh, Lord, why don't you just do this and everything will be great? Why don't you just do that and everything will be taken care of? But he doesn't do it that way oftentimes. He doesn't listen to me. I wish he would. He has his own way, his own time, and his own way of producing fruit. I think of the farmer who plants the seed. And we can do so little, right? We can plant the seed, but then the natural elements, the wind, the sun, the rain, they all come from God. God gives the growth even. We can't make the plant grow. Come on, plant, you can do it. It doesn't work, right? It has to come from God. God gives that growth. So it can be a little complicated. There can be many obstacles, our sins, our uncertainties, the desires in our heart that at times seem incompatible with what Jesus asks of us, providing for our earthly needs of those we love, our family, and so forth. How do we navigate all these factors and at the same time try and understand God's will for us? When you look at your life right now, what is it that you are looking for from God? Are your requests rooted in an earthly goal? Or do they stem from a desire to be a sign? Well, I want to be a sign. I want to be an instrument of you here on earth. John's invitation is to simply focus on where is the Lord calling us? How is he calling us? How can we become a clearer sign pointing others to God? How can we make straight his path for us and for others? Are we open to God's grace, his will, his plan? Or are we fixed on our own plans, our own methods, our own way of being? Brothers and sisters, in this second week of Advent, let's try to be open to God's grace. His grace coming into our lives. Let's pray in that prayer that we can be a little hard to pray. I think it's challenging. Lord, let your grace guide me and lead me in such a way that I can do all things for your glory. It's not an easy prayer to pray. It's not easy to let the Holy Spirit have his way within us, but I think that's what the call of John the Baptist is, and what the call of the Holy Spirit calls us to through our confirmation, through our baptism, is to be open to this life of the Spirit. Are we able to do that? Are we able to trust in that these days? Grant, O Lord, that none may love thee less this day because of me, that never a word or act of mine may turn one soul from thee. And one more request I dare make, that many souls this day, because of me, may love thee more. Amen.